Now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studio, this is the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome in on kind of a cloudy, overcast Tuesday. I'm not going to waste a lot of time because in a moment we'll introduce the new Vanderbilt Athletic Director, Malcolm Turner, who is in our studio. But first, let's say hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. How are you today? Everything good?
I'm better than the Detroit Lions. Wow.
Did you watch it? Did you see that play?
Did one call go in their favor?
No, but the last one sure didn't, huh?
No.
That was a bad call.
Yeah.
That was a bad call.
That's a topic. It's a topic for another show down the road, isn't it?
Yes. We will have to play with that one, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah. So Terry McCormick is the third member of the crew. Let's say hello to him and find out any medical updates we need to know. Terry, what's going on?
Well, George, basically just biding my time, waiting for about an hour when the Yankees get ready to play. So looking forward to that.
Yes, the Yankees do play in Game 3 in an hour, and then tomorrow apparently is going to get canceled because of rain.
Oh, we don't need the Astros getting extra days to get their pitching set. They need to play.
Well, here's a thought for you. Go Houston.
Yeah, I figured you'd be like that.
Okay, guys. In our studio, as I mentioned, is new Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner. Thank you for taking the time to come in here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So what have the first 9 months been like? Because there's been a little bit of everything in that resume in 9 months.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind, but, you know, first of all, my wife and I are really enjoying getting to know Nashville and getting settled, you know, very new to the city, and it's been a wonderful welcome, and we're having a blast, frankly, getting to know the city of Nashville and getting settled. On the Vanderbilt front, certainly, you know, getting my arms around Vanderbilt as a university and our athletics department, and that too, it's been a wonderful onboarding, and kind of I'm really excited to be here and grateful to serve, and you know, but that too has also had its twists and turns, you know, with, you know, the end of my first week, David Williams, the shock and surprise of his passing, and, you know, certainly more recently, the chancellor who brought me on board, you know, suddenly resigning as well, and, you know, in different points in between, but I'll say this, and I'm, like I said, thrilled to be here. Nashville's been terrific. I think there's great opportunity at Vanderbilt, and so thrilled to be here and really continuing to get settled and just get my arms around, you know, the great opportunity that I think we have.
Anybody who follows this knows you've walked into a very difficult job. Kind of give me a sense of, okay, it's a hard job, but is it hopeless? Is it, kind of tell me after 9 months how you feel about what you've walked into.
So I you know, I've said this before that Vanderbilt's a place I've admired from afar for a really long time. And, you know, I've also had the view that I think there's great opportunity here and unrealized potential. But I know it's difficult, you know, as you may have heard before, you know, early on, I got the entire department together and said, look, for any and all success we've had, we don't know what our ceiling is, and let's go find out. And I'm the first to say that let's go find out is a loaded statement. It's facilities and it's investment and resources and staff. I get it. But I believe that there's great upside opportunity here. And, you know, two things. I didn't come here to manage the status quo. That's for sure. But I just believe that there's a lot more out there for this program. And I didn't take this job because it's easy. I've always been, when you look throughout my career, any job I've taken, it's been because there's, in my view, been something very unique and compelling about the opportunity. And so when I look at Vanderbilt, I believe we have an opportunity to really build and create and sustain a very differentiated, unique brand of excellence in terms of excellence in the classroom and what we can do in a leadership conference like the SEC. And so my belief that there is great upside, that's what I'm here to really work towards. And that was my message to the staff early on. Let's go find out. And again, I'm the first one to recognize that's a loaded statement. That means a lot of things, and a lot of things have to happen to turn that corner. But I want to make a run at it, and I think we can, and I'm not going to shy away from that. And so there's no doubt that what makes Vanderbilt special and unique also presents special and unique challenges, you know, but I believe there's great opportunity here.
It's no secret that you've got facilities challenges. I don't know that I could have asked this 3 months in and expected an answer, but you've been here now 9 months. Do you have a sense of, okay, here's the first one I'm going to try to make better. Boom. Here's number two. Boom. Here's number three. Do you have an order at this point in your mind of here's what we're going to start with and then go down the list?
You know, with the facilities, we are addressing and taking a look at all programs, first of all. And, you know, we have a partner on board. We're doing a master facilities plan really for the first time within athletics to take a look at our overall footprint, benchmark the caliber and quality of all of our facilities within that footprint and really identify opportunities to renovate and reimagine and perhaps even start anew in certain cases. And so that's the first important point, that this exercise applies, you know, across our entire footprint. Some, you know, try to short circuit that to, well, this is just a football stadium project. And in part it is, but it extends well beyond that to encompass all of our programs. On the order and sequencing, we're not quite at a point where we have definitive options. As you well know, we have a very tight footprint. And so once we start to, in fact, we have a half day meeting tomorrow where we'll start to take a look at some initial options. Our partner has really been in a diligence phase, kind of understanding our footprint, understanding usage and utilization, and benchmarking our current facilities, you know, with other peer institutions. And we're now converting what's been a diligence phase to now, you know, an ideation kind of what if phase. And so it's hard to answer the priority, not the priority, the order and sequencing until we have more definitive options. And we're not that far off from it. But again, with how tight our footprint is, as you well know, just, you know, talking about improvements to one of our facilities, quite frankly, likely has implications to literally the one right next to it that it's touching as well. And so the sequencing of all of this will be important. But we are taking a look at all facilities. And even though I said, yes, many try to short circuit that to football stadium. Yes, it does include football stadium. But even on that point, I would say, you know, I recognize the need to address and have a conversation about stadium. But I'm also don't apologize for saying that there are things that program needs on the McGugan side of Jess Neely before you even cross the street to the stadium that I think we need to better address as well. And so I'm trying to take a holistic approach across all of athletics, but across all of our programs. And we're not quite at a point where, you know, I can say this first and then that, et cetera. But there's no doubt about it that, you know, we're very intent on taking a look at, you know, just as I alluded to, the needs of our football program and basketball and baseball, Olympic sports on down the line, you know, and part of it is, you know, as we look at, you know, we're fortunate that we do have some additional flexibility to just think differently about it with some real estate adjacencies that have become available to us in a way that, you know, we can at least start to consider creating some space within our footprint and doing some different things that, frankly, we didn't have even that as an option before. And so I you know, really want to create something that's actionable, that does set a vision for us going forward. Once we're really more comfortable with kind of a set of options, I fully expect that you will see kind of a phased approach, you know, to your point.
Sure.
Phase one, what we address there, and I think that's the right way of thinking about it. We're just not far enough along with our partner, again, with their having just completed their diligence phase. We're now converting to what if, what about this, what about that, here's an idea, what do we think, you know, that, which frankly is the fun part of the conversation, is what we're now transitioning to. In fact, that we'll convene that discussion Tomorrow.
And feel free to call in tomorrow when you have the answers. So the football stadium is the one that everybody wants to talk about. Are you at a point where you can say, we're simply going to refurbish what we have, or we're simply going to tear down and start over, or we're looking at options that are not the site that the stadium is now? What can you tell me when I ask that?
That we're looking at options to refurbish, renovate, or start anew, but all within our current footprint. You know, we're not looking at an offsite, you know, opportunity, you know, for football. And so we're looking at all available options within our footprint as it relates to the football stadium.
Tell me, you know, until you see it, it's hard to understand, but you've now seen twice Georgia and LSU come in and just take over. And you know there's a fan base issue. It's an issue you and I talked about privately before I ever got back in radio. And I used to yell and scream about it on the air that if somebody didn't start to pay attention, this is going to get bad. It's gotten bad. How do you think you can start to fix it?
Yeah, I think, you know, where we are is not an overnight phenomenon. I think this is many years in the making. You know, and that's everything from overall fan experience, game production, the product itself, the facilities that, you know, support the experience that you have. And that experience is, you know, is from a student athlete experience to a fan experience to a donor experience, media on down the line. And so this is not new. It's manifested itself in a very public way with a couple games this season, but this is not an overnight occurrence, and all the more reason, regardless of where we net out, I think it's important that we have a point of view on our football stadium. I think part of the issue is, you know, I think there's been too long, frankly, where we haven't articulated this is our plan or this is our approach or this is how we would like to address it. I remember having this conversation, you know, casually, you know, early on when I started that, you know, I understand there's some anxiousness in the fan base in this community about what we're doing on stadium, because frankly, we haven't been very public or really, you know, articulated a plan. And, you know, I would almost rather, again, I don't think this will be where we net out, but even if your answer were, we're not going to do anything for the state, then say that. And people may not agree. And they may have a different view, but you know what? We've been heard. We've acknowledged. We disagree with what you're saying. But, you know, at least, you know, versus I think we've been, you know, I don't think we've been transparent enough and public about what our options are and what our plans are. And, of course, as you well know, in absence of that, then everyone fills in their own narrative. And some of it may be true, some of it not. But that's what I think has been missing. And so regardless of where we net out, it's, you know, I took the view that I think this market and this base deserves an answer. They deserve to be acknowledged and listened to. And again, even if it's an answer that they don't want to hear, then you know what?
At least they hear something.
Exactly.
In the absence of the narrative, as you put it out there, there is sort of this belief that other than John Ingram, the Board of Trust doesn't really care. I know John cares. You wouldn't have taken this job if you believed that, would you?
That's correct. That's correct.
Where are we wrong? Where is it that we're out there seeing one thing and, in fact, it's different?
You know, there's a lot of that answer that I can't really speak to because there's some history on that topic that I wasn't here and wasn't a party to, and I'm not really focused on rehashing the history. All I can speak to is the nature of conversations, you know, as I came on board, not just with John Ingram, but others within our Board of Trust and the Chancellor's office in terms of, you know, a growth vision that I believe we need and, you know, for Vanderbilt athletics, you know, and I would just say, I feel very good about the continued progression of those conversations. And you're 100% right. John Ingram has been, you know, a remarkable and just key partner and any and everything that we've done to date, you know, but also with the chancellor who brought me on, our interim chancellor as well. You know, I remember when Chancellor Zeppos announced his, you know, resignation, you know, within 15, 20 minutes, You know, I'd heard from John Ingram. I'd heard from Bruce Evans, our Board of Trust chairman. I'd heard from our now interim chancellor and provost, Susan Wente, all of whom consistent in, you know, we understand the growth vision for our for athletics that you know, we had been talking about and that I had articulated and kind of, you know, the messaging that I provided earlier in terms of great potential and unrealized opportunity here, you know, within 15, 20 minutes, you know, heard from all three, you know, very supportive and keep doing what you're doing, believe in what you're doing. And so, you know, this just has to continue to play out. So I really can't speak to origins, past narratives, fact, fiction, and frankly, I don't care to do so. I'm looking forward, and I think there's great opportunity for us ahead, and that's what I'm working towards.
New Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner is in studio with us. Watson Brown and Terry McCormick will talk to him next. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville's sports radio.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
The great Bob Saget. And for some reason, I don't know, I was, by your Twitter account, I was blocked.
You never said anything. Wait a minute.
My mom wouldn't allow me to send you a bad tweet. I would never do that.
You are blocked. You are now unblocked.
Yes.
Holy God. Not only that, but I'm following you.
Oh, my. So now I'm nervous, Bob. I don't know what I'm going to do about this.
See, I'm glad this call happened. This is more important than radio.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And we have with us in studio Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner. I turn it over to a former Vandy football coach, Watson Brown. Watson, the floor is yours.
Malcolm, congratulations. Welcome. We're excited to have you here, and we know there's a lot of work to do, and there's got to be a chief, and I'm glad you're it. And welcome to Nashville.
I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Quick question that I would have as being an AD myself a couple of times, talk to the fan and listeners that are listening about the immediate process. I mean, when you first walk in the door and it's not football, you've got a lot of sports and you got to go facility. Then you've got to think about the athlete and the different things with that. You've got to talk about personnel and each one of your sports. How did you go about it when you first walked in the door? Did you spend a lot of time evaluating early? Are you putting a package together? Because we've talked a little facility, but there's so many things that an AD touches. Talk to the fan a little bit about that.
You know, I think starting out, I tried to spend as much time as I could talking to so many different people and constituencies because, again, you know, I didn't have come in with a formal Vanderbilt connection. Vanderbilt's a place I've admired from afar for a long time. But I spent a lot of time walking the hallways and spending time getting around town. But first and foremost, you know, and this is a point of emphasis for a lot of reasons, but spent a lot of time, at least on the very front end, with our student athletes. I've always believed, you know, whether at Vanderbilt or when I was at the NBA and other stops that I've had, that being present matters. And, you know, while I was at the NBA and now I'd say the same thing at Vanderbilt, I'm not going to be effective, you know, leading and growing our business from behind my desk in Magoon. You got to get out and you got to get in front of people and you got to be present. And so initially spent a lot of time, you know, at practice and meeting with student athletes and our coaches and donors and our staff. And so in a lot of ways, you know, it's a product of those conversations that helps accelerate my onboarding and my learning about what are some of our challenges and what some of our opportunities are. I referenced this a little bit earlier, but another thing that we've done that's, you know, very timely, but also been very helpful for me is, you know, we have been in need of a strategic plan for athletics. And so I launched a process to develop a plan in terms of what is our strategic plan going forward, our priorities, our areas of focus. And that too was really a bit of a call for comments from this community and a lot of meetings and a lot of conversations. And I learned a lot through that and continue to learn a lot through that. But ultimately, we need to have a strategic plan for our business. And so that was an important process and something we needed to do anyway, and we didn't have on the shelf. And so, but in doing so, it's accelerated my learning. And so it also ties into the master facilities plan as well. But look, any job I've had, you know, this job and prior stops, you know, people ask kind of, what are you focused on or what's the job? And yeah, my answer's really been the same. It's people and revenue and people focused on really understanding the needs and aspirations of our student athletes and our coaches, what they need to be successful and what our programs overall need to be successful. But revenue, you know, taking a look at our department as a business and opportunities for us to accelerate revenue growth and pursue new opportunities. And so I know it's a little bit of a long-winded answer, but really spent a lot of time asking a lot of questions and actually trying to listen to the answer, you know, which was certainly helpful for me, as anyone will, you know, who knows me well will tell you. I'm not one of those guys that comes into any situation with all the answers to the test, you know, but I do want to ask questions and probe and learn. And so it was a very helpful process, and I had a lot of people who were very generous with their time to do so. So that was kind of a, you know, again, a bit of a long answer, but spent a lot of time talking, listening, asking questions of a number of constituents to really get up to speed on Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt athletics, and then just this broader Nashville community.
And Malcolm, did talk to the fan about when you come in, do you, and Vanderbilt is a private school and sitting in the Southeastern Conference, so it's different than the other schools in the conference, but do you take, let's just take football, do you go and get budgets from each of the football programs within the SEC? You look at facilities. How do you use the other schools within the conference to compare to what you need to do here at Vanderbilt, because it's all about competing and winning in this league? And have you done that? Are you going to do that? Or do you use that yourself? Is that something you would want to do?
There's no question. I think it's irresponsible to not go to that type of data just as a matter of context. Context matters. And so that's certainly an important starting point, not just within conference, but you know, other peer institutions, you know, beyond that. So certainly, you know, have gone to not only understanding numbers, but have also, you know, put together, and I'm still in the process of doing so, gone out to see other facilities. You know, not too long ago, I was, you know, visited with Duke's AD Kevin White at Duke and did a campus tour and facility tour of some of the things that they've done there, and made my way down to my alma mater, Chapel Hill, and which, by the way, Watson, you know, when I was there, Mac was coaching, and got to spend some time with Mac, you know, during my time there. But did the same at Chapel Hill, and they've certainly done a lot of progress and launched a lot of relevant projects for us recently. And so I've also been spending time getting around to other facilities and other ADs, and Tulane, for example. Tulane is, you know, as this group well knows, very tight footprint, you know, when you look at athletics. And so that was one of the reasons I wanted to get down to Tulane and take a look at kind of how they've been able to do it and execute as well. And so you can pick up ideas from a lot of places, but yes, there's a data component to it, but I've also wanted to get out on the road and go talk to some peer ADs and go see some other facilities. I'm still in the process of doing so.
And George, don't want to eat up all the time, but one other quick question, a little more specific to football. And I know I'm not asking you because you won't do that, but you can at least be general with me. When you have come in and you've watched football and you're starting to compare, one of the neat things, one of the great things about Vanderbilt football, to me, Malcolm, it's in the Southeastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And one of the tough things about Vanderbilt football is it's in the Southeastern Conference. And it's all about you, how good you can get compared to who you play. As you've walked and watched and listened, and now you're putting things together, what are some of the immediate things that you're looking at for Vanderbilt football to help improve and to give it better opportunity to keep getting itself up the ladder within the conference?
I think it's a great question, and I think it's an important conversation and an exercise that, frankly, we're having as we speak in terms of, you know, taking a look at football in particular. You know, what are the resources and investments that we need to make to enable sustainable success for the long term? And so it goes a little bit to your earlier question in terms of taking a look at data and what some other places are doing. But I've been spending a lot of time on this topic, and you know, I don't want to cut corners on the path to success. I think there are areas that, frankly, we need to do better as a department and as a university in terms of our commitment to that program. And so I have zero interest in cutting corners in doing so. And so, you know, that's taking a look at all available resources and almost benchmarking, you know, where I currently think we are and where we're behind and where we have some gaps, and then figuring out, okay, how do we close that gap and move forward. I think you really have to look at this holistically. You know, all of these things feed into each other and tie into each other, whether it's, you know, yes, strategic plan, yes, a facilities plan, yes, a fundraising plan, yes, coaching, yes, other resources and things of that nature. It all ties together, and those are all important variables. But that's how I've been approaching it, and I think it requires a holistic approach. I'm not going to focus on only one variable for each. I think there are opportunities for us to enhance and improve in all of those areas to really ultimately have a really thoughtful conversation about football for Vanderbilt and the SEC and how we can create a model and a plan for success on a sustainable basis going forward.
Terry?
Go
ahead, Watson.
One last thing, George, real quick. Last thing, I really believe that Vanderbilt football can compete. You look at through the Southeastern Conference right now, Malcolm, there's not a whole lot of schools that have won SEC championships in football.
That's right.
There's a bunch of them that hadn't in a long time. So if we just keep getting ourselves back up there, but I think you're on the right track, and it's all of it, everything. The final product is the win or the loss, and all of it goes together, and good luck on it. I appreciate the way you're going about it and what your thought processes are. And it's not easy, but I truly believe that this can become a much stronger program. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
I completely agree, and that's why I'm so excited to be here and in part why I really felt like this was a unique and compelling opportunity. I really believe we can make good on that. And, you know, I think there is a lot out there for Vanderbilt athletics overall, and that includes our football program. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't think we could do it. And as I said earlier, I didn't take this job because it was easy, but I do think there's enormous opportunity for us. There's a lot of work we got to do to get there, but I'm excited about it and ready to play offense.
Terry?
Malcolm, we've already talked, you mentioned about Vanderbilt being, you know, a different type situation than most of the state schools that are in the Southeastern Conference. And, you know, everybody knows that, you know, Vanderbilt alumni, you know, they're from everywhere from California to Calcutta, it seems like. And I know it's a challenge to keep a lot of people who are Vanderbilt alumni connected with the athletic program once they leave Nashville and leave the area. But on the flip side of that, there is a loyal fan base of Vanderbilt followers who maybe did not attend Vanderbilt but grew up following the Commodores, and maybe dad was a Vandy fan or granddad was a Vandy fan. And those are people who have remained loyal to the program through thick and thin and that sort of thing. How do you go about appeasing and cultivating and growing that segment of the fan base?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think it also just speaks to our potential. I think part of it is, you know, we touched on a little bit earlier, greater transparency in terms of what we're focused on and the work at hand that we're doing. But also, you know, demonstrating commitment and investment in building for the future. And you know, I think there are things that we've already done that can help demonstrate that. But frankly, I think there's a lot more that we can and will do, you know, going forward in terms of heightened investment in our product across all programs. And so I think you're 100% right. There is a fan base out there and a population that is really passionate and cares very deeply, you know, and so all the more reason, you know, we certainly have had some successes across our program for sure, but I believe that there's so much more out there. And I really think if we can turn the corner across the board and continue to build on past successes, I think there's enormous opportunity in terms of activating that base. And you're exactly right. It's more of a national base, and we have to do a better job of connecting with that group, you know, digitally and socially. And there's some things that we're working on to do so, but ultimately, you know, showing a commitment and investment and I think, frankly, transparency in terms of what we're focused on and frankly, what we're not focused on, if that be the case as well. So, you know, I'm someone who I have a very high standard of excellence and a high bar. But, you know, certainly from my mom, learned that, you know, it's also important to have a high stamina for excellence to achieve that standard day in, day out. And there's a lot that I believe in here at Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt Athletics. And I'm looking forward to what we can accomplish.
How much can you use the successful Vanderbilt athletes who've gone on to pro success, be it David Price or Will Perdue or Jay Cutler, just to name a few names? How much can you use those people and their influence to help be spokespeople for the athletic department and the university as you try to build this thing?
I think a lot of them are frankly, you know, can be our best partners in this effort. You know, but to partner, we also have to engage in their areas and their times when, you know, I think we can engage better, you know, and part of engagement is laying out a vision for what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, as we've talked about with the strategic plan and master facilities plan, laying out a vision for what we're trying to accomplish and seeking their partnership. I think there are plenty alums, as you mentioned, who would love to be, you know, part of this effort and welcome that opportunity. And you know, I'm continuing to speak with them as well. And so they're one of our bigger assets, and absolutely we need to engage and deploy, and we'll do so.
One final thing from me. When you look at Tim Corbin and what he's been able to do with the Vanderbilt baseball program, taking them to the very pinnacle of that sport at the college level, is that the goal? Is that what you strive for now with every sport there on campus, to try and get to where they are competitive on a national level the same way that Tim Corbin has made the baseball program?
No question. Yes. That's really set the standard. I believe that we can compete and win across the board. you know, I think Coach Corbin and what he's done with that program and how he's built that program in such a thoughtful way and has really, you know, that program has been built for success in a sustainable way. And it really shows that it can be done. He's such a wonderful leader and teacher and really sets a fine example of what can be accomplished at Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner is in studio with us. Malcolm, before you get out of here, I'm going to ask the obvious. Is your intention that Derek Mason be back next year as football coach?
Coach Mason is our football coach. I support Coach Mason. He is the right leader for our team, has been, you know, focused on building this program the right way. But as with any situation in any program, I'm constantly evaluating our programs. And so he's been a great partner already. And like I said, he is the right leader for our program. And I know he's very focused on what we need to fix and how we get this turned around. And so I'm in support of Coach Mason and that staff and importantly, our student athletes. But he's certainly, you know, we're very focused on this week and going 1-0 against Missouri. You know, but we have been having a lot of different conversations, harkening back to what I mentioned earlier. This is a holistic conversation in terms of, you know, what we need with football. And so we're taking a look at a lot of different variables that, you know, I think there are times when some may focus on a shiny object or two as part of this conversation, but really building a plan for success longer term involves a lot of variables. And he and I and others are digging in on that front for sure.
Do you feel they can get much better this year?
That I don't know. I mean, that's ultimately a coach, you know, question. I know he certainly feels that way when you, you know, listen to his comments. What I'm focused on is, you know, where we can provide the appropriate level of resources that document a commitment that we want to be successful.
Right. But you know where I'm coming from in that, because as I look at them, I'm hard-pressed to believe that they're just going to go out and win the next five in a row and it's all going to be dandy. If it isn't, then what?
As I said, we'll always continue to evaluate all aspects of the program. Coach Mason is our coach, and he's going to coach X's and O's, and I'm going to focus on making sure I provide him, that staff, and our student athletes with the appropriate level of resources to be successful. You know, going back to the earlier conversation, there are areas that, frankly, I think as a department, we can and need to do better for that particular program. And so that's what I'm focused on. I think at times it's a bit of a lazy inquiry to just say, well, coach has to do this or coach has to do that. And what I'm saying is, if you really want to be thoughtful about it, we as a department and a university need to ask ourselves, are we providing this program with the resources that they need to be successful? And so for those who just say, you know, again, what's coach have to do? I think that's only a part of the answer. I think it lets yourself off the hook, as for me as athletic director, if I don't in turn ask the other question in terms of, well, what are we doing for Coach Mason in that program to be successful?
Well, you know where some of it's coming from, because you walked into something that none of us saw coming, which was Ofer in the SEC in basketball. Will the difference be that basketball has more of the resources than football does?
That may be the case, but again, that may be the case, but I'm continuing to evaluate. I do not at all want to suggest that I've completed an evaluation as it relates to our football program, but absolutely, that may be the case for sure.
Okay. Okay, we lived up to it. 2:42, we're going to get you out of here on time. You got a meeting with baseball?
Yes, going to go to practice today, and I visited with Coach Corbin and the team a couple weeks ago in the classroom, and now we'll be joining them for practice today.
They're a good group, man. Yeah, they've achieved some stuff. Thanks for doing this. I hope you'll come back.
I will.
Sometime down the road.
I'd love to do it. I mean, we have a lot of work that we're focused on, and I'd love for this to continue to be an open dialogue. And as I have updates, would love to come on and share and continue this dialogue. But there's a lot that we're working on as we speak.
Our thanks to Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner, who has joined us in studio. Thanks to Alan George for taking care of putting this together. We'll go to the break at 2:43, and we'll have more of the show. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
By now, most of you have figured out James Warren and I went to BGA, class of 1977. He's the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill, and he joins us by phone. James, let's talk a little printing services.
Well, I've been in business for a long time, and I've known that there's all kinds of challenges that everybody has every day. And I will say, now, printing doesn't have to be one of them. You can rely on the pros at Sir Speedy Berry Hill to provide you with print solutions to achieve your goals, whether you need posters, banners, brochures, catalogs, personalized mailers, copying, you name it. We're here to make you look good. So move printing off your plate and onto ours.
Give me the particulars.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. You can visit us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. or email us at print@sirspeedymusic.com. We've got you.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Six is the time. Let's bring both Watson Brown and Terry McCormick back in for some conversation after our visit with Malcolm Turner. Watson, let me start it like this, because you have sat in both of those seats. You've sat in Derek Mason's seat. You've also sat in Malcolm Turner's seat a couple of times as an athletic director. Kind of take me through how you would attempt, if this continues. I don't see this football team getting substantially better this year. I just think we now have enough data to say this is going to be a tough year. So as you try to decide what you're going to do in the future, give me some of the things that would go on in your all's report cards.
Well, I was excited about the way he handled the answer, because I think that is a big piece of it. The win and the loss is the byproduct of everything, not just the head coach, but all the pieces that fit in with it. When we're talking facility, we're talking personnel, we're talking athletes, we're talking how do we get athletes in school. We're talking about how do we get them to be academically the best thing be. How do we get them bigger and stronger and faster? There's so many pieces to me. That's why I asked the question of comparing Vanderbilt to Georgia, or comparing Vanderbilt in all ways to Tennessee or Ole Miss. And I think he's doing that. And I'm not going to say that the season is over. I don't think there's anybody in the world thought Vegas would come in here and knock us off of 34-10. So maybe we get somebody the same way. I don't know. We'll let the season play out. I hope and pray that it gets better and Derek can turn some of this around. I know he's trying his best, and I saw that look in his eyes on that sidelines the other day, and believe me, it's killing him. And so he's doing everything he can to get us as strong as we can this year. But I like to, if he's going to do what he says, that's what we need. We have got to look at Vanderbilt football and not compare it to even Tulane football. You're in the Southeastern Conference, and you got to beat Southeastern Conference teams. You have got to load your gun with the same ammunition in a lot of ways that these other Southeastern Conference schools are doing. And it's honestly time for Vanderbilt to do that. Not sure it's ever been done. Started working it in that direction at certain times through the years. But if we really want to get up there in the middle up like we deserve to have as a Vanderbilt alum or fan, you got to do all the pieces, George, and it can't just be the head coach. That is a big piece of it. But I personally thought the answer was very proper, and that he's having to judge himself and what's around football as much as he is the football coach.
Terry, it was C.M. Newton who taught me years ago, when you have to make a tough decision, get a legal pad and draw a line in the middle with the pros on one side and the cons on the other, and try to judge from there. You listen to the interview. You're the one of us that didn't go to school there. From a little bit outside looking in, tell me what you thought.
Well, I think he's got a plan, and I think part of executing that plan, that's the biggest thing, is going to be getting people on board at Vanderbilt that haven't necessarily been on board with athletics by and large over the course of, going back to my being a kid and all the way through now. You know, it seems that Vanderbilt, the support that is given, and I've seen many coaches come in with, great ideas and great aspirations, and many athletics directors come in with the same thing, and, but they seem to run into the snags of reality when there's not that support there that there needs to be. So, my hope for Malcolm Turner is that he can win over some of the influential people that are connected to Vanderbilt Athletics and that are connected to Vanderbilt University. And that's part of the reason that I ask about tapping into the David Prices, the Will Perdue's, those sorts of people, and letting them help be a face of your athletics department, because they went there and had success, and perhaps some of that success could be passed on to help build this thing back in the right direction. Not just like baseball has done, but for all the sports as well. Because, to my way of thinking, there was no reason for Vanderbilt basketball to sag the way it has, and men and women. And, football had made some strides, and now, they appear to be backsliding a little bit, and you hope that they can at least get back to that competitive level where they're competing for bowl games and having a chance to win some games in the SEC.
I do like the idea, Watson, of the strategic plan. They never really have gone down that road before. I think one of the things that kind of exercise does is put everybody, on the record of, okay, what do we want? Because I don't know that everybody that matters has wanted the same thing. I know what athletic people have wanted. I don't know what other influential people have wanted. And I think it's time to get some people on the record and find out, is everybody on the same page?
Well, perfect analogy. I mean, with anchor down, you're either on the ship or you're not, you know? And we need to see who's on the ship. Because a ship can't sail if it ain't fully loaded and stocked and got its guns loaded, George. And we're talking more football right now. He has to deal with every sport.
Right, and there are a bunch of them.
Every sport. I mean, that's what the athletic director does, and you have to do that. But you've got to deal with football because of its past history. And it's easy to go back and study it and see. It's obvious to me that we've just never made the commitment to really go after it, the true commitment to go after it. And I can tell in his voice that that's what he wants. Now, he can't do it by himself, so we'll see who jumps on the ship with him. And everybody's talking about Derek. To me, that's a very, very, very small piece of this. If we have to change coaches or not, there's so many other things to go with that haven't been done that have got to be done. And it's going to cost a lot of money. When you compare to a Georgia program, you compare to a Mississippi State where I've coached, you compare to an Oklahoma where I've coached, and the money that those people spend and the different – I'm not talking about just in facility, George. I'm talking about in personnel. And hired help. You get what you pay for a lot of times. And there's got to be a whole lot of money under Malcolm's wing and under his coaches' wings on the personnel you bring in and the money you have to spend to have good people. I'm not just talking about the coaches. I'm talking about the trainers, the academic folks, the strength and conditioning folks. You can't miss on a piece. If you're going to get this program middle up in the SEC, and I can't wait to see where he goes with it and how he goes about it. It's obvious to me he wants to do it. It's obvious he does. He knows. I think he tried to say in a classy way, and there's a lot of places that hadn't been done yet. I talk about at Vanderbilt that we hadn't done it yet. So let's just see how many people jump on this ship and go with it.
We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back. Stay tuned.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
This football season, your friends at Pickers Vodka are proud to introduce Pickers Unplugged, ready-to-drink canned cocktails, real vodka soda, no strings attached, zero carbs, zero sugar, and only 96 calories. Pickers Unplugged is available in four refreshing flavors, but because it's made with real vodka and not malt liquor, you can only buy it at your local liquor store here in Tennessee. To learn more and to stay plugged in, visit PickersVodka.com or stop by the distillery in the Nations and take a tour.
Okay, during the 3 o'clock hour, the first thing I'm going to want to get into is the NFL and the officiating, and the number of flags that are getting thrown during games has gotten completely out of hand and really making it a not very fun game to watch. You know, and obviously last night we had a situation where Detroit got completely hosed. So anyway, that's one of the things we will do. A good friend of mine, a former Vanderbilt outfielder, Rhett Wiseman, will join us at 3:20. He is a Washington National. He's in their minor league system. He's going to talk to us about the playoffs and Washington's rise to within one game of a World Series. And then Chris Lee will join us around 3:40 this afternoon. So we got a lot going. Terry, it does look like they're going to play today, the Astros and the Yankees. In fact, starting in just a few moments, something tells me you're watching that. But it looks like tomorrow.
I will be tuned in, George.
Yeah, it doesn't look like tomorrow's going to happen.
Yeah, that could be rough because that could mean pitching and playing four straight days, which can wreak havoc on a pitching staff. The Astros certainly have the advantage with starting pitching, and the Yankees, at least I thought they had the advantage in bullpen until game two when Adam Ottavino served up the home run to Springer to tie it, and then Jay Happ, who I'm not a big fan of anyway because of the way he pitched this year, gave up the game winner to Correa. So, you know, the Yankees, you know, I like their bullpen, but I really, really wish they had Dellin Betances out there, and that's not going to happen because they really do seem like they're an arm short. And if a game gets rained out, that may tax them even more.
I know. I'm very sympathetic with your problems.
Yes, I know. Your bullpen was so stellar.
Get me a violin and just bring out the wine and the cheese. Okay, I'll leave you all with this. Don't comment on it, but we'll bring it up to start the 3 o'clock hour. Concussions in NFL preseason games increased this year by 44% compared to last season. Out of here for hour number 2. Stick around. We've got some fun coming up.